Quit eating your burgers off a coffee table. If you want to eat a burger, put it on a bar. Follow your instincts to B-Dubs for the new All-American Cheeseburger. Fresh, juicy beef smashed till it's crispy around the edges, covered in gooey cheese, and stacked to the ceiling with deliciousness. And knock that baby down with a frosted beer at the bar. Just like the sports gods intended. The new All-American Cheeseburger at Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar! Please drink responsibly.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Kusu Chuang. And on the line, we have Tim Mulholland, president of TJM Limited in Chicago.
Tim, good of you to join us. Can we start with energy prices? I want to start with the North American benchmark. West Texas crude, about $43 a barrel. Brent, the global benchmark, is about $45.50 a barrel. There's an oil route going around. Just want to get your views on whether the incoming Crown Prince of Saudi, which is obviously one of the world's biggest oil producers, Mohammed Salman, whether you think he might impact energy policy for the Saudis.
Well, I think he's interesting because he's the person that really recognized first that they need to diversify their economy. So he wanted to, or his plans were to diversify, you know, away from dependence on energy and to create more employment opportunity and more diverse economy there. So in that sense, I think that there's probably not really any change because there's not much they can do, the Saudis can really do in policy except stop pumping, and they really can't afford to do that. So they do need to diversify. They do need more refining. They do need more, solar energy. They do need perhaps more type of industries. And he seems like the type of person that really has a clear vision. And let's also look at the fact that when this transition all occurred, it's really no surprise that this switch had occurred because I don't think that several years ago that the current situation was deemed as permanent. So I think this was pretty much in the works. And this is the leader of diversification of the Saudi economy. So I think it's actually a very positive step for Saudi Arabia.
But it nonetheless poses the dilemma for Mohammed Salman because the Saudis are themselves trying to get, Saudi Aramco out into the public market, selling, I think, 5-odd% of the oil giant. But they can't do that without oil prices being, way higher than where they are currently. So how do you think Mohammed Salman can shape policy to, elevate oil prices without getting too involved in cutting off the pumps?
Well, can they get the frackers in the U.S. to stop? I don't think there's anything Saudi Arabia can do to affect oil prices, actually. They really cannot afford to cut production to the point where it would make a difference. And, prices did rally to 53. Incidentally, I think that this 42 West Texas, 42, 43 area is probably a level they're going to rally from here, maybe $42. So I think you're probably seeing a very over-pessimistic market now, and they're probably going to rally towards 50. I think the Aramco deal is predicated on oil being between probably 45 and 55. So I don't think it's really deviated too far from what realistic expectations were. And I do believe the people involved in this IPO are realistic.
Well, interesting you should mention that because I think Gartman was one of the big hedgies yesterday talking about putting some bets to have oil bounce from current levels on the futures market. Do you agree with that? Do you think that there's a punt there, Tim?
Actually, Dennis is an old friend of mine, and I didn't realize he did that. But no, I think that basically some support lines here and some other analysis and people that I respect greatly in the market think that this is a very good level right now, that you've got the market probably leaning too short and too pessimistic. So, but that's not saying that prices are going to rally to 60. I think they can roll back up to the 48-50. I think equilibrium is probably between 45 and 50 in crude. So I think this is a level where you don't want to be short, that's for sure.
Well, returning stateside, and the U.S. stress test bank, bank stress test had just happened by the Federal Reserve. I think all 39 participating banks have passed those tests. But I think the bigger question for the Fed is whether they're going to allow some of these players to return more capital to shareholders. That's going to be a decision they make next week. What do you expect is going to happen, Tim?
Well, I think that the prices really firmed bank prices, major big banks actually firmed on the expectation that there's going to be a positive handout or legislation there, a positive ruling there. So I think that the capital position of banks has never been better given the onerous Dodd-Frank restrictions. But nevertheless, I think that the banks, one thing the banks do need is they do need a steeper yield curve. That hasn't been cooperating. But I think for certain that their capital position and where things and the situation that they're looking at and the stress tests and so forth will certainly allow for more return of capital in share buybacks and probably more importantly in dividends. I think the dividend payouts are going to go up a little bit, and there's plenty of room for that.
Tim, as an aside, and completely from left field here, because we're talking about financial services, I wonder if you guys in your part of the world are looking at cryptocurrencies and this whole Bitcoin, Ethereum rally, and soon that's been happening the last couple of days. Is there a gaining acceptance of cryptocurrencies in the conventional world?
Well, I think perhaps in China, where their capital controls are very strict, there's more of an acceptance. I think in the United States, I personally don't believe there's a real acceptance. However, I do believe what's most important to me is the blockchain, which is behind the Bitcoin, the clearing mechanism, if you will. And I think that's going to be the real thing that grabs my attention. The only problem I have with the cryptocurrencies is that this still is a world where central banks still do rule. And I think that I know the cryptocurrency has made some astonishing gains, but nevertheless, I think that in the Western world, the United States in particular, I don't really think it's taken that as seriously, and maybe that's a mistake, but I think at this point, I really am more interested in the blockchain behind the Bitcoin, what makes it work, rather than the Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies themselves.
Okay, and back from blockchain to the real world again. And, of course, we've had some data come out in the last couple of days, U.S. jobless claims and, of course, unemployment numbers also in the mix there. We've had two rate rises, two Fed rate hikes this year alone. Do you reckon there's going to be at least one and not two more by the rest of the year, that old chestnut interest rates, American interest rates, Tim?
Well, I think there's one more coming. And the reason why I wouldn't say two is because they're going to start paring back the balance sheet or not rolling and reinvesting proceeds, and they're going to let some issues roll off in a calculated measure. But, you know, again, we look at this where you're at with interest rates and trying to justify the current economic conditions and prior economic data, where going forward, I think we're going to be surprised by some of the strength that we're going to see. But nevertheless, interest rates were so low, so ridiculously low, so repressively low, that now we're arguing because the economy is not justifying a rate, well, 1% funds rate? I mean, 1% funds rate was what precipitated the housing and the financial crisis 10 years ago. So, you know, again, I think there's one more rate hike, but I think the only thing stopping two more rate hikes is the fact that they're going to start paring down their balance sheet slowly.
All right, Tim, thanks so much. Of course, that was Tim Mulholland, the president of TJM Limited from Chicago.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
With the Capital One Saver Card, you earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment.
Does that include dinner at that new French place?
Yep, 4% cash back there.
How about bowling with my friends?
Yeah, 4% cash back on that too.
Nice.
And that'll be a rewarding weekend. Because with the Capital One Saver Card, you earn 4% on dining and entertainment. So when you go out, you cash in. Capital One, what's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Capital One Bank, USANA.